Welcome to One Handshake, the podcast that explores how a single handshake can transform your life or business. I'm your host, Jillian Vorst, a business strategist and connector. This podcast is an extension of the One Handshake community, a dynamic, values-driven network of individuals who believe in the transformative power of connection. It's a space where members genuinely support one another, exchanging insights, connections, and opportunities to grow together. Let's dive in and discover how one handshake can change everything.
Hello, thanks for tuning in to today's episode around authenticity and boundaries in business. I'm Jillian Vorse, host of the One Handshake podcast. So there's a lot of noise around authenticity, I'll put in quotes here, authenticity and boundaries in business, especially authenticity. It's almost become like a buzzword, but there doesn't seem to be as many people talking about the tension between the two. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Protecting your boundaries doesn't mean being guarded. It means being clear, right? So boundaries can be about clarity, not about keeping people out per se. And authenticity doesn't mean being kind of exposed. It's really about alignment. So of course, this brings me to one of my favorite quotes. I'm beginning to think many things or everything can be drawn back to this quote of mine, one of my favorite quotes, not my quote, one of my favorite quotes, which is, we teach people how to treat us, right? And this goes for teammates, for clients, partners, collaborators, and even ourselves. We teach ourselves how to treat ourselves, right? So this is really important. But let's first start off by defining boundaries. Boundaries are decisions that we make in advance about how we want to show up in life and in work. It's about what we're willing to do and what we're not willing to do, or what is off limits. It can be about the type of industries that we'll work with, as well as like what type of business hours we want, or when we will or will not reply to an email or a message or something for work. But it can also be much more expansive than that. Boundaries are ultimately systems of self-respect, values, and capacity. They're not brick walls. But like most things, boundaries begin with mindset. I feel like I say this a lot too, because it is true. Most everything really is a mindset issue. So we need to start there as opposed to looking at the tactics, because we need to shift the way we think about things, which will then influence the way that we respond to things. So let's start off with mindset. So if you believe that your value depends on being liked, you'll struggle to set boundaries, right? Boundaries are built on clarity. First, we have to think, what do I want? What do I need? And what do I value? And then, what is required to support those things in a healthy, sustainable way? This is how we can begin, right? It's also about this, the principle of the having a full cup, right? So when we're drained or overwhelmed or scattered, we often will default to what? To doing our kind of people-pleasing or overextending ourselves and just quickly saying yes to things that end up costing us much more in the long run. So now that we talked a bit about mindset, let's start off with one of the, I think, probably the most important boundary of all, which is, of course, the boundary with ourself, right? It's often the most influential, but also often the most challenging one to uphold. So let's run through some categories just to see which ones resonate. Number one, let's talk time management, right? However, before we can focus on managing our time, it's prudent to make sure that we're allocating it properly. Which reminds me, recently we did a really interesting strategy session on this, and together we worked on things like building out a realistic work week schedule by focusing on what can be achieved each week rather than building it around kind of peak performance or what we can accomplish sometimes, but is often followed by burnout or feeling depleted. So instead, when we built out this work schedule, this weekly work schedule, we focused on what is sustainable. Make sure like all facets of business are included and the times allocated for each are appropriate, right? Because there's so many things, like, for example, very simple. I just reminds me, I've had this conversation with many people, especially people who are shifting from a career, like a corporate career, to then starting a business, right? Especially, it's like exacerbated by having the kind of business model of billable hours, because then you look at, oh, great, how much do I need to make? I want, you know, X number of dollars or euro, whatever. How many hours do I want to work? 40 hours, do the math, there you go. But that isn't, it's not the complete picture, because there's so many other parts of our business that also have to be addressed, like dealing with the administration side, the tax side. Also, where do our customers or clients come from? There's a degree of marketing or client acquisition, and there's prospecting and network and all of these other things that have to happen. So we have to make sure that all facets of our business are included, and then we have the proper amount of time allocated to each, right? So yeah, like social media, how much time are we spending on that? And how much time do we need to spend on that, or ought we be spending on that, right? And then very important, be sure to include personal time, like exercise, getting up and walking away from the laptop. Very important stuff. Also, lunch or meal time. Also important. Very important. I have struggled with this for many years. I didn't do this. I actually thought that having, you know, taking a break for lunch meant eating lunch. So I was so proud of myself for many years. I would eat lunch while working, and only to realize that's not really the idea. It's really, that's actually when I did the, I'm digressing, but I learned about mindfulness. I went to the Center for Mindfulness with Jon Kabat-Zinn, and I learned about eating mindfully and all these things, and then realized that working through my lunchtime wasn't really the thing. So in any case, make sure you're allocating meal time or time for lunch. The other thing is, make sure you know like what needs to be accomplished. Like if you're going to start based on the month and then divide by the number of weeks or the days, however you're going to break it down. The other benefit of this is to help you identify what is going to get accomplished, what realistically can be accomplished in any given week. The benefit is then you'll know when it has happened, right? So I'm speaking to you entrepreneurs who often, yeah, we have a tendency to think that the work is never done, because it's never done. There's always more to do. But that can often lead to burnout. And so I feel like just about every day I'm reading another story from another founder talking about burnout. So this is very important to try to prevent that before it happens, right? So identify another, look at this, connecting. We're talking about boundaries and talking about time management, and then we're linking it to burnout. But all these things are connected. So I think the first and foremost, like one of the best tools we have is time management, and then kind of schedule allocation. So, I mean, I could talk about this all day. Maybe I should one of these days. But anyway, so make sure you know what you can realistically accomplish in within a week based on your time frames, right? Your allocations, so that you know when you've achieved it. We're also deliberate. Like, yeah, make sure you're scheduling the appropriate blocks and whatnot around your energy level. So it's not just, oh, I need to spend 15 hours this week on prospecting. But then we think, is prospecting something you enjoy or not? Do you need maximum energy, or can it be when you're a little bit more tired? And then when do you work better? When is your maximum energy, in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon? So you want to match up the activities that you have or these buckets you have with your energy, not just the getting the hours in the day, but also kind of stacking the deck in your favor is aligning with your energy level, which is kind of a nod to self-awareness, right? It's really obviously key to be, yeah, to have self-awareness about what things give you energy and what things require more energy from you, right? So make sure you know how you're spending your time and how you need to be spending your time, right? So there's often a gap in there, and it's really important to be able to uphold boundaries to identify that as a starter. So the second thing is, again, with boundaries around us, with ourselves, is saying yes when your gut says no. Anybody else done this before? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably right now you're thinking, oh yeah, yeah, because many of us have had this experience. But if it's repetitive, it might be good to dig a little bit deeper and learn what's going on. But here's a tip. Once you've created your calendar, you'll also have a better handle on what you can say yes to and when you can realistically do it, right? So again, this calendar thing is like, it's like magic, I think. It's a super great tool. We can use that in a lot of ways besides just knowing what day of the week it is, right? Number three is not leaving enough margin in your calendar, right? So this is a really big boundary with ourselves, which alludes a bit to what I mentioned about taking proper breaks and things, but like really doing these things. So building in personal time, make sure, because what happens is, again, this goes back to the quote I said about how we teach ourselves how to treat ourselves. There we go. Because if we think in our minds, we think, oh yeah, today I'm going to go do some exercise. And then we don't do it. How do we feel at the end of the day? How do we feel? It's like, oh, not great. And then it happens the second day or third day. And so this can really start to erode our confidence. And also like, how much do we even believe ourselves, right? So this is the opposite of what we're trying to do if we're trying to build around integrity to then be authentic, right? We don't want to do that. So it's really important that if that's an objective we have is to, you know, to take a walk 3 days a week or every day or whatever it is, to make sure that we get that in our schedule. And then when it's time to do our walk, it's time to do our walk. It's not time to do another quick email or one more message. It's time to take our walk. Number four is this also, you know, relevant to everything else we've just talked about, but it's worth calling out separately, I think, is kind of having or building the discipline to adhere to the boundaries we've set, right? This is for ourselves as well as eventually working with others. But really, it takes practice. It's so important to give ourselves some grace as we begin to develop or strengthen this kind of muscle, if you will. So in our strategy session, we're approaching this as a 6-week test period, right? So give yourself, or what we're doing is giving ourselves 6 weeks to test out the new weekly schedule, right? See where it aligns, how it feels, and ultimately how it affects performance and results. And then adjust as needed, but we need to give ourselves enough time to adapt, right? Okay, now let's lift our eyes up and look at others. Let's focus on the boundaries with other people. And this can mean not taking every single meeting, or maybe taking a meeting but scheduling it for weeks down the road. Sometimes we're just too quick to try to accommodate people, even when we don't have the capacity for it, right? So this is one of the big boundaries. So sometimes it's not about taking a meeting or not, but it's about when we take that meeting, or maybe where it is. Maybe somebody's requesting to meet with you for a coffee or for a lunch, but you really don't have an hour plus travel time. Maybe you can accommodate 30 minutes in a Zoom meeting or something like that. So that's a different way to think about it. Another way is looking at kind of clarity in your offers or what your services are, because blurry lines are a magnet for boundaries creep, right? It can be really difficult if there's a lot of, just kind of vagueness, or it's just really opaque. So really trying to be clear about what you're doing, clear in your communication, is really important. Another one is protecting your creative energy, right? So this can be like, for example, having a hard line so that you know when your creative times are, your creative kind of time buckets in the week or something, and making sure there are no interruptions during that creative time. So that means it's non-negotiable. You don't schedule meetings during then. Your phone is not turned on, et cetera, et cetera. So make sure that you have this boundary that's going to allow you to do what you need to do in that scheduled time, and then make sure you're communicating that. So obviously for scheduling, that's, you have some control over that. So not having the availability for people to schedule with you during times that are for your creative stuff, right? Another really big one is overpromising, right? And we can overpromise in many ways, including to clients with deadlines, with budget, and with prospects we meet, right? So sometimes this can happen just because of a pattern of people pleasing. It can also be from having a healthy appetite, maybe even more than our stomach's capacity, if you catch my drift, right? If this is your challenge, let's look at a quick, simple first step to help mitigate it without feeling like it's compromising authenticity or the desire to serve, which I have a lot of respect for. I understand this one. So if this is you, I feel you. So here we go. Build out a process which allows you to think about various scenarios ahead of time, right? So what has happened, what regularly happens, etc. And create simple workflows and messaging, both for yourself and to the person, right? So my tip is doing this holistically will make it easier to follow than having to make the decision every single time with every single person or situation, right? So for example, maybe you receive the request or an invite, or there's something is asked of you, right? So starting off internal messaging, right? So think about, you know, what we would say to ourselves. And this is helpful to, you know, figure out what messaging will work for you. But then revisiting this each time will help to develop new internal messaging, right? An internal framework to think about this. So here's an example. I appreciate being thought of, or I know I could help this person. But it does not mean the scenario or the person or the timing works for me. So once I determine if this thing aligns with my values, my schedule, my capacity, I will then accept it or decline it, right? Thinking about it this way. So it's honoring it. Yes, maybe it's interesting. I really appreciate the opportunity, but let's just see if this is going to be a match for me, right? And then the messaging to the person might be along the lines of, you know, thank you for thinking of me, or what you're working on is really intriguing. I'm actually reviewing my calendar for the next month or quarter next week, and I'll circle back to you with an update or questions. The reason this works is it creates a pause, which helps us to take a breath and then qualify the opportunity before communicating it or committing to it, I suppose, right? And then one step further, here's what I'm going to call an authentic correction, right? Because even the best of us and the best of intentions can sometimes still land us in a bucket of it, if you know what I mean. So if you realize you have overpromised on something, consider reaching out to them to see if there's any breathing room. Sometimes we're chewing our hands off to complete something, only to find out it wasn't as critical to them as we thought. Believe it or not, some of us are extra skilled at creating our own unrealistic deadlines or deliverables. Yep. Does that resonate for anybody? I have certainly been there at times. So not all scenarios will apply, but generally speaking, asking for some space or to adjust the time frame or the deliverable itself is a possibility. It doesn't mean they'll be thrilled in the moment, but it can help to close the gap between what you committed to and what is actually possible for you. Now, let's identify what boundaries look like in action and then look at a couple of reframes, right? Let's get into some real life, kind of real business scenarios. So, for example, anybody been asked for a brain pick session, right? So when someone asks, hey, I'd love to pick your brain, here's a way to consider responding to it. Again, adjust based on your own language, but just here's an example. I do enjoy a good brain pick every so often, but typically people pay me for this. Here's my calendar link. You can also even consider offering like a 15-minute free session or something, and you may offer that, you know, one or two 15-minute sessions per day or per week or per month, or maybe not. Right? So think about what feels right for you and what your calendar will allow and what your energy can absorb. So that's the brain pickers. A second example is when asked for business advice, right? People are really looking for beyond just a kind of surface level question, but like a scenario situation, they want to give you the blow by blow, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be your response. Your can be kind of like, rather than yes, great, it can be great. Though I only do advisory calls with existing clients. Would you like to schedule a discovery session to see what that could look like for you, right? Another example is when someone asks you to write a testimonial or LinkedIn review, right? This could be a couple of things. Maybe about having the time to actually do it, or maybe kind of more on the side of authenticity if you were not, if you would not consider yourself a super fan of theirs. Right? So trying to figure out how to thread that needle, so to speak, while being authentic, right? So it may be something like, thanks for thinking of me. I'm not available to contribute a testimonial at this time. Just period. I'm not available at this time. You can literally leave it like that, with the idea being that we don't owe this to other people and they're asking us, and it's fair for us to say no or no thank you. It's not much different than when we're at a restaurant and the wait person says, would you like a refill? We say, no thanks. So it's this kind of way of reframing it to ourselves, right? Or if it's about a question mark around not feeling like their biggest fan, but you still want to be able to do this thing for them, maybe identify something about them or their work that you can get behind. So what was it? There's something about the way that they worked. So maybe it was that more so than having like, yeah, that it was like the best ever, or maybe they, you know, 10x your business or something, but the way in which they did it or whatever was something that you can get behind. So that way you can provide a, you know, review or something, a testimonial, but it still is authentic, right? So there's a reframe for that. And then one other quick example is when, this is a big one too, is when someone propositions you for like a partnership or a collaboration, right? You maybe will say, I'm intrigued to hear what you have in mind. Like, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are. But before we discuss like partnership ideas and whatnot in detail, here's a link to how I typically collaborate. So the idea is to have a page on your website that's either visible to the public or only if you share the link with somebody. And there's reasons for both that it's not for today. But anyway, so have the link or a PDF handy that you can link to, where it spells out what your expectations are around things like communication, etc., right? So those are a couple of different scenarios that are happened that I see happening regularly. But I mean, we could go on and on. There's many more. But now that we've talked a bit about boundaries, let's flip to authenticity, specifically as it relates to business, right? Starting off, what does authenticity mean to you? To me, it's about alignment. It's about first knowing my values, priorities, capacity, and my goals. And once I've identified those, I can operate in a way that reflects who I am, but I use those buckets as guardrails. Spoiler alert. Being authentic doesn't mean we have to do everything for everyone. Even when it's someone we like or care for or like we believe in their work, etc. Sometimes being authentic is saying no or not now. Being authentic is also not about being kind of perfectly polished, unless that's who you are. Ha, gotcha. None of us is perfectly polished, though we can present that way online for sure. And that's a nod back to my previous solo episode around posture. So if you haven't listened to that one, add it to your queue. Anyhow, authenticity instead is showing up in alignment. It is saying what you mean, and it is operating from your values. Sometimes when we're operating from an authentic position and trying to honor our boundaries, we do encounter more friction. It can happen. It does happen, right? So this is about, like, for example, saying no while staying warm. So we can say no to somebody. And even though for some of us, we can feel like, oh, they're not going to like us anymore. They're not going to give us any more opportunities, etc. That's not actually the case, period. And if it is, then that person probably isn't somebody that aligns authentically with your business, just a guess. But if the shoe fits, another one is just being honest about capacity without guilt or the need to apologize or explain. You got that one? That's a big one. So being honest about capacity, right? It is similar to the reframes we said, like, that's really interesting to me, but realistically, I won't be able to get to it until, you know, next quarter, something like this. It's really a big one. And then not apologizing for it. Like, we're busy. It's like, we don't have to go down this whole path about explaining and apologize. We don't. We can just say, yeah, this is my capacity right now. Next one is, think about who you surround yourself with online and offline, right? This is a big one around boundaries. It's like the idea of people that have a tendency to always try to ask for more than they give, right? Just constantly looking for more, right? Yeah, and that can be online or offline. So this is kind of a big one here. A few other ways to think about friction, some more kind of scenarios is, like, I think of is, yeah, this shows up in so many different ways for people, but just to try to paint some broad strokes here and then dot some specifics inside there. So often we think of authenticity as being generous, right? And boundaries as kind of knowing your limits. But saying yes too often in the name of authenticity, or kindness even, actually erodes trust with ourselves and our own commitments, right? This sometimes shows up in family friction, right? Is for those of us who, you know, run companies, etc., we can sometimes fall into a pattern of bending over backwards and going the extra mile and being available to our customers or our whoever, partners, etc. But then at home, maybe being less available or feeling like, you know, that's the easiest group to cancel on is our family, right? And so we don't want to get into that place, right? That's not sustainable. And I don't think a lot of us really want that. But unfortunately, many of us end up there. So let's not go there. Yeah, so that's saying yes in the name of our own commitments, right? And then also, as another, the other side of that coin is when we say yes, kind of out of guilt, and it's not generosity, sometimes it's out of avoidance. And I won't unpack that one a whole lot more. I'll let you connect the dots there. But sometimes we say yes to just avoid other things, right? Yeah, that can be one. Here's a quick example. So let's just say a past client reaches out to you for a quick call and you really want to help them and you want to be authentic, et cetera, but it's your creative day and you don't really owe them, but you want to protect your calendar and like your boundary. So what can you do, right? So what to do with that? So you can offer them a way to re-engage formally, right? Or you could offer them one of those 15-minute calendar links or something like that. So it can be a quick thing. And even that, if they send you an email or a WhatsApp message or something asking for a quick question, first of all, if it's during one of your creative sessions, you shouldn't be responding to it or seeing it anyway. So that's one way to kind of close that door. But in any case, okay, another one here is, again, looking at authenticity and boundaries, right? So authenticity is like, be human, be who you are. And boundaries are about, let's be consistent, right? And being real means showing emotion, of course. Like being authentic is being who we are, having hard days, letting people see us. But in business, consistency is also key. Like with our team, with our clients and collaborators, they need to know that they can rely on us, right? So how do we show that we're human? How do we be ourselves without being kind of reactive or overly emotional or offloading stuff to others all the time, right? So let's just say as an example, let's say you have a rough day and you feel like ghosting all your meetings or tasks. Anybody else felt like that before? Yeah, sometimes we have mental health days. That's a separate thing. So we'll dig into that later, but we're trying to stay within this bucket for a moment. You know, you may feel like there's so many things going on. I just want to ghost everything today and just forget about it. But your commitment to consistency reminds you that to reschedule with clarity, not disappear. So we can feel like just ghosting everybody and know that probably later we could say, sorry, XYZ happened. But is that the way that we want to operate our business? Or could we pause when that thing happens and then reschedule with clarity, right? So you might mention that you're recalibrating or recharging or something without over-explaining or apologizing for being human, right? It is what it is. Call it like it is and move on, period. Here's another great one, which is really interesting. And this is, yeah, again, I feel like I could do a whole episode just on this one here, but I'll try to be succinct. Authenticity is about speak your truth. And boundaries are, it's like knowing that not every truth needs to be shared and certainly doesn't need to be shared with everybody everywhere, right? Saying what's true doesn't always mean saying it now or saying it to them, right? This is about kind of emotional discipline, which is another kind of prism of boundary, right? It's emotional discipline. So it's authentic to tell somebody how we feel, but having emotional discipline to know this is not the time, right? Or yeah, just this is not the time. How about that? And just one more to round it out. So authenticity is like, be real. And boundaries are about like, be selective. Yeah, this is definitely an interesting one. So authenticity is about inviting openness, right? So we want to be authentic. We want to be open, perhaps. But boundaries require a discernment, right? And that's what we're looking to have, is to be authentic with ourselves, authentic with others, and adhere to the boundary that we have created for ourselves. Remember that we have created that. The idea is to be proactive with that, of course. So in any case, here's a reflection for you to consider, right? Ask yourself, what would change if I trusted that the right people will respect my clarity and my realness? Think about that. It's really something when we are ourselves, right? When we show up authentically as ourselves, unapologetically ourselves, and then people respond. It's so freeing, and many of us realize that we exhausted a tremendous amount of energy trying to fit into a certain box or a certain persona, et cetera, only to realize that we actually don't need to. And in fact, showing up as ourselves, unapologetically ourselves, can actually be a unique value proposition, if you will. It reminds me to the podcast episode with Petra. I think it was episode 12, but I'll link it into the show notes about showing up unapologetically on LinkedIn. So anyhow, okay, so now let's look at how to build and maintain boundaries while staying authentic, right? So we've gone through a couple of examples already, but let's just run through a simple kind of a checklist, if you will, right? So number one, we've talked about this, of course, starting off with, you need to start with your non-negotiables, define them. Right? This is in terms of the time, your money, your energy situation, and then integrity, right? So first of all, your non-negotiables, and then whatever else it may include, right? Number two is to communicate clearly, right? In many cases, this is about being prepared, like we spoke about earlier. So having scripts or policies, default like responses, like we talked about the messaging, the internal messaging for ourselves and the external messaging, what we're going to share with somebody else, right? Having those ready to go. The third is to check in with yourself often, right? Have a gut check. You know, am I resentful? Am I overgiving? And also this is, you know, pertinent to the energy conversation. It's like, yeah, you know, looking at my schedule, and not that we necessarily all can or will ever have the luxury of only working on things and only working with people that give us energy. That's perhaps an unrealistic measurement or target, but we can look to prune our work scenario and try to minimize the energy depleters and try to grow the energy enhancers, right? Number four is practice saying no with grace. Now, some of you might have no trouble saying no. That's great if that's you. But for many people, that's a struggle. So if this is you, it's about practice saying no with grace. Practice is the key word here. So maybe saying not right now, right? Not right now, or I'm not the best fit for that. Or maybe I would love to, but realistically, I won't be able to get to that until, next quarter or something, right? Number five, I love this one. Build systems that back your boundaries. This is so key. It's like the idea of being able to say to somebody, yeah, I'm not turning you down. It's not you. It's not that I don't want to work with you. I just have this big plan here. I have this system here. We have a certain way. So we have to go through that. It just takes the pressure off in a way. And it's just has a way of really kind of honoring the boundary. And again, this bit about teaching people how to treat us and teaching ourselves how to treat ourselves as well, right? So building systems. So one of my favorite ways to do that, if it hasn't already been clear, is through the calendar, right? And scheduling systems, tools, and you know, your calendar creation or the scheduling tools can be just really excellent. So whether you're using Calendly or Motion, I use You Can Book Me. So whatever you use. Also, another really, really big one, which could also have its own episode, is do you have a document or like a working with me or how I work, some sort of guidelines or SOPs, a standing operating procedures? How do you work, right? and providing that to prospects or and or clients, right? So that they know. So spelling things out so it's very clear, and having these systems, like because having our system is one thing, but we need to be able to communicate that with others. And so I think this is a really important piece, and I advocate for having it. I mean, obviously it depends on your industry and the size of your company and a multitude of other factors. But generally speaking, having this as like a one pager, short and sweet, is great. And then being able to review it with people, and then ideally building that into your kind of prospecting process so that they're become familiar with it. This is the bit about teaching people how to treat us so that we don't end up with clients that expect a return phone call or something in 1 hour or what have you, right? Just because we did it once, right? Similar thing with, we talked about with partnerships or collaboration, having outlines ahead of time. We had that proposal templates, all of that. And even FAQs can be really helpful. It's great because obviously also if you're answering the same question repeatedly, this is an indication you may want to add that or create this FAQ section. But also it has a kind of double duty, because if they see that you have this as FAQ, they'll realize that, oh, wow, it sends a message about how you conduct your business, right? And your degree of awareness and how proactive you are, et cetera, et cetera. So often, you know, being able to show that their question is on the FAQ list is going to help them have more trust and more confidence in you, actually. Okay, there we go. So now to try to bring this all together, right? Boundaries are part of your brand, and so is your energy. So we really need to take care of that energy, right? The more clear you are with yourself, the easier it will be to be clear with others. And protecting your peace of mind isn't a luxury. It's a leadership skill, period. And finally, you can be kind and clear. Right? We can be kind and be clear. Ultimately, authentic business is not about pleasing everyone. It's about serving the right people in a way that's sustainable for you. So in closing, I have a few questions for you to reflect upon. First, where in your business are your boundaries unclear? Second, what's one boundary you need to set or reinforce this month? Third, what's one place where your authenticity is being diluted? If you could use some support around topics like exercising boundaries while building business authentically, you're invited to check out the One Handshake community. These are topics we discuss and host workshops and strategy sessions, and we have dialogues around. So if you've enjoyed this episode, I would love to know. Either leave a review or share your feedback via the form link in the show notes. And with that, it's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in. Cheers.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of One Handshake. We hope you feel inspired and equipped to see yourself and the world in a new light. If you're still listening, I'm guessing what was discussed in this episode resonated with you. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show. If you feel compelled, please consider rating our show or leaving us a review. You can also follow us on the socials or even come check us out at onehandshake.co. Thanks for spending this time with us. Now go shake some hands.